Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Summer Share by John Hall. Narrated by Kate Clark. Chapter 1. It was going to be a summer she'd never forget. 18-year-old Emily Benson leaned against the ferry's railing, watching as Ocean Island came into sight. The hot summer sun warmed her skin, and the wind off the water whipped her long blonde hair into her face. Brushing away the wayward strands, Emily stared at the island that was going to be her home for the next 3 months. "For the first time in my life, I'm on my own," Emily whispered, still unable to believe it. The thought thrilled and excited her. It also scared her. She wasn't scared in a bad way. It was a good way. She was going to be sharing a summer house with 6 strangers who she'd be meeting for the first time today. The summer share on Ocean Island had been her parents' graduation present to her. It had been a total surprise because Emily had been planning to work this summer as a camp counselor. When she'd opened the envelope her parents had given her and found a key inside, she'd been confused. Until they'd told her it was a key to the summer house halfway across the country on the East Coast that she'd be living in for June, July, and August. Emily had been speechless. As she tried to find her voice, to turn down the gift because she needed to work this summer so she'd have enough money for tuition and books when she started college in the fall, her parents had told her to put all thoughts of money out of her mind. She deserved a summer of fun, and that's what they wanted her to have. There was plenty of time for her to be mature and responsible, and they would help with her finances in the fall. Right now, they wanted her to enjoy herself, to sleep late, party at night, go to the beach, snorkel, water ski, and do all sorts of fun summer activities. Emily appreciated the gift. She also knew it was her parents' way of not letting her feel left out because this summer, they were going to Europe on a round-the-world vacation to celebrate their 25th wedding anniversary. Emily wondered what her housemates were going to be like. She knew there were going to be 6 of them, but she knew nothing about them. When it came to meeting new people, Emily was usually shy, but she'd have to get over that quickly. After all, she was going to be living under the same roof with them for the next 3 months. As the ferry pulled closer to the dock, Emily studied the buildings coming into sight. She could see an ice cream shop, a pizza parlor, and a grocery store. Next to those were a women's clothing store, a video rental shop, and a gas station. Everywhere she looked, people were wearing bathing suits and shorts, sunglasses perched on top of their heads or over their eyes. On the beach, she could see sunbathers spread out on blankets, their bodies glistening with suntan oil, while children played in the sand with their shovels and buckets. The ferry docked, and a few minutes after that, the walkway was lowered. Emily left the railing and headed back to her seat, gathering her belongings as the people around her did the same. Everyone was talking excitedly, anxious to get off the ferry and onto the beach. Emily was no exception. She checked the time on her watch and saw it was 3:00. Maybe, if it didn't take too long to get to the house, she'd have enough time to unpack and hit the beach for a quick swim. Of course, she first had to find the house. Carrying her 2 duffel bags over one shoulder and a suitcase in the other, Emily left the ferry. Once she was on the dock, she walked in the direction of the street where she could see there were taxis waiting. Already, a line was forming, and by the time she got to the end of it, all the taxis were gone. Usually, Emily was a patient person, but today, she couldn't wait to start her summer vacation. She wanted to have some fun. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw a taxi turning the corner at the end of the street. Leaving her spot in line, she waved at the driver, rushing toward the taxi at the same time a plump redhead with shoulder-length curls did the same thing. They reached the back door of the taxi at the same time, their hands both reaching for the door handle.
Flip you for it?
The redhead asked. Emily wasn't a person who liked confrontation and always tried to come up with solutions to problems.
How about we share?
She suggested. The redhead smiled.
Sounds good to me.
After loading their bags into the trunk, Emily and the redhead slipped into the air-conditioned interior of the taxi. The cool air was a welcome relief from the hot, sticky weather.
Where to first?
The driver asked.
101 Saxon Lane, Emily said, wiping away the beads of perspiration on her forehead.
She turned to the redhead.
What's your address?
The same as yours, the redhead shrieked. Emily couldn't believe it.
Are you spending the summer on the island? Emily asked.
In a summer house?
Yes!
Me too.
Hi, I'm Dawn Weston.
Emily Benson.
This is so cool, Dawn gushed.
As the taxi pulled away from the curb and into traffic, Dawn started chattering nonstop, telling Emily all about herself. She worshipped the Jonas Brothers and had seen Twilight 5 times. She loved soap operas and hoped the house had a TV because she couldn't miss Days of Our Lives. She liked all kinds of music and had brought along a bunch of CDs. She would be going away to college in the fall, but she had no idea what she wanted to major in. Listening to Dawn's chatter, Emily felt her nervousness slip away. She liked Dawn. She liked her a lot. It was going to be fun spending the summer with her. Hopefully, the rest of her housemates would be just as nice. As if reading Emily's mind, Dawn said,
I wonder what our housemates are going to be like.
We'll know pretty soon. Dawn offered Emily a stick of gum and stuck a piece in her mouth.
I hope the guys are cute. It'd be nice to have a summer romance.
How many are there?
3, I think,
Dawn said, blowing a bubble.
That's what the real estate agent told me when I asked. Our other 2 housemates are female. With my luck, they're going to be knockouts like you, and I'll be the invisible girl for the rest of the summer. Want to make a bet?
Emily couldn't believe what she was hearing. She didn't consider herself a knockout. She knew she was pretty, but she wasn't the type of girl who turned heads, not like the cheerleaders and more popular girls at her old high school did.
I'm not a knockout, Emily said. When was the last time you looked in a mirror?
Dawn asked, her voice stunned.
You've got blonde hair, blue eyes, and legs that won't quit.
Emily blushed.
I'm not a knockout, Dawn, and looks don't really matter to me. Mine or anyone else's. When I get to know someone, it's what's inside that matters to me. And I'm not really interested in having a summer romance. All I want to do is have fun.
You don't think guys can be fun? Emily was starting to suspect that Dawn was guy crazy.
Of course I do. Look, I'm just saying that if we decide to have a summer romance, it might be better to do it with someone we're not living with. That way, if things don't work out, we're not stuck under the same roof with that person.
Good point, Dawn agreed. As they drove to the house, the sky suddenly became dark. The sun disappeared and thunderclouds filled the sky, ominously rumbling.
Looks like it's time for an afternoon shower, Dawn stated, rolling down her window and sticking her head out as the first few fat drops of rain fell from the sky.
I hope it doesn't last long, Emily said. I really wanted to go down to the beach.
I bet you look great in a bikini, Dawn said, somewhat enviously. You've got a great figure.
Thanks, but I'm not the bikini type.
Wet t-shirt?
No. Usually I'll wear a one-piece or a bikini top and a pair of shorts.
Just then, the taxi reached their destination. As the driver put the car in park and went around to the trunk to get their bags, Emily got out of the back seat and studied the house that was going to be her home for the next 3 months. It was a 3-story gray shingled structure with an attic and a wraparound porch on the first floor. The windows were all dark, and none of the curtains were drawn. Emily didn't know why, but the sight of the house creeped her out. It reminded her of the house from that old horror movie, Psycho. "Stop it," she scolded herself. "You're being silly. You're letting your mind play tricks on you because of the bad weather. I bet it's a wonderful house when the sun is out and shining." After paying the driver, Emily and Dawn gathered up their bags and hurried to the front porch. The rain was coming down harder, and a strong wind had whipped up. When they reached the front door, Dawn pressed the bell. They waited for someone to open the door, but no one did. Dawn pressed the bell a second time, and then a third, but still no one came. "Guess nobody's home," Emily said. "Do you have your key?" Dawn asked. "It's in one of my bags. I don't remember which one. How about you?" Dawn searched through her pockets and handbag. "I must have lost mine already. I'm always losing things." "Do you think there's a spare?" Emily asked, eager to get inside. The earlier summer warmth had disappeared, and she was starting to feel cold in her shorts and t-shirt. "Can't hurt to check," Dawn said. They searched around the ledge above the front door and underneath the potted geraniums and petunias on the porch. There was no key. Dawn rang the doorbell one last time and then knocked on the door. There still wasn't an answer.
"Perfect, just perfect," Dawn grumbled. "We're stuck out here until someone gets back. With my luck, this storm will probably turn into a hurricane."
"Did you try the door to see if it's open?" Emily asked. Dawn slapped her forehead.
"Duh! Why didn't I think of that?"
Dawn reached for the doorknob. It turned as she twisted it, and the door swung inward.
"You're a genius, Emily!"
Gathering their bags, they hurried into the dark hallway and closed the door behind them. Once inside, Emily and Dawn dropped their bags to the floor, and Emily searched the walls for a light switch, but couldn't find one.
"Hello," Dawn called out. "Is anyone home?"
No answer.
"Do you think we're the first ones to arrive?" Emily asked.
Dawn shrugged.
"I don't know, maybe."
Emily wrinkled her nose.
"It smells musty, like no one's lived here for a while." "Probably because the house has been closed up all winter," Dawn said. "It'll be gone in a couple of days once we open up some windows. Let's leave our stuff here and look around, although with no lights, that's going to be hard."
They left the hallway and headed through an opening to their right, which led into the living room. Outside, the storm was raging in full force. Thunder boomed and lightning flashed across the sky. In the darkness, Emily tried to make out the shapes in the living room. She could see a couch positioned diagonally in the far corner and two armchairs and a coffee table against the opposite wall. There was a television stand in the corner with a DVD player, and there was even a fireplace. That would be nice on chilly summer nights. Suddenly, the hairs on Emily's neck rose. She didn't know why, but suddenly, she felt like she was being watched. She whirled around, searching the room. At first, she didn't see anything. Of course, with the room so dark, it was hard to see anything. It must have been her imagination.
"Get a grip, Emily. You've been watching too many scary movies."
Still, she moved closer to Dawn.
"Why don't we check out the dining room and kitchen?" Dawn suggested.
Emily was about to answer when she saw it, rising from behind the sofa. A figure with a knife, lunging toward her and Dawn. Chapter 2.
"I'm going to die,"
Emily's mind screamed, watching as the figure with the knife drew closer.
"I'm going to die!"
Next to Emily, Dawn began screaming hysterically, clutching at Emily's arm. At that moment, there was a sudden flash of lightning, and in the next second, the darkness in the living room disappeared as the lights came on. The figure with the knife stopped in his tracks,
lowering the knife to his side. He stared at Emily and Dawn, not saying a word. And then he started laughing.
"You should have seen the looks on your faces," he gasped, clutching his sides. "Priceless! I thought I was going to wet my pants. This has to be the best joke I've ever pulled."
Realizing she wasn't in danger, Emily's fear disappeared, replaced by anger.
"Are you crazy?"
she shouted in the face of the curly-haired stranger standing in front of her.
"Did you think that was funny?"
"It wasn't.
It was sick. Sick."
"Hey, don't get so bent out of shape," he protested. "It was only a joke. Don't you have a sense of humor?"
"Some joke," Dawn stated. "You almost gave us a heart attack."
"Well, you better get used to it."
"What do you mean?" Emily asked.
"I'm Otto Driscoll, your housemate. I'm assuming you two are Emily and Dawn."
Emily pointed a finger first at herself and then Dawn. "I'm Emily and that's Dawn."
"I'm an intense practical joker," Otto explained. "There's nothing I like more than a good gag."
Dawn rolled her green eyes. "Great. Just great. I'm stuck sharing a house with someone who should still be in junior high."
She shoved a finger into Otto's chest.
"I'm warning you. You play another one of your stupid jokes on me and you'll regret it. Got it?"
"Ooh, I'm scared."
"Don't mess with me," Dawn hissed.
With those final words, Dawn left the living room. Emily couldn't believe what she had just witnessed. She wouldn't have thought Dawn capable of such anger. True, Otto had played a nasty joke, but Dawn seemed so easygoing and laid back.
"Okay, I guess it's your turn," Otto said. "Let me have it."
"I don't mind jokes, Otto, as long as they're fun. What you did was mean," Emily said softly. "And scary." Emily's quiet words had more of an effect on Otto than Dawn's angry ones. He hung his head and stared at the rug.
"I'm sorry," he sighed. "Sometimes I don't think. When I get the idea to play a practical joke, it kind of takes over. I do it without thinking of the end results."
"Maybe you should," Emily said.
"Maybe you're right."
"Are you the first one here?"
Otto shook his head.
"No, everyone else is here. They went into town to the grocery store to stock up on supplies. They should have been back by now. I'll bet the storm is holding them up. If it means anything, I was originally playing the joke on them."
"But you couldn't resist playing it on us, could you?"
Otto shrugged.
"When an opportunity presents itself, I take it."
"So what are the room assignments?"
"There are 4 bedrooms on the 2nd floor and 3 bedrooms on the 3rd floor. I can show you what's left, although I'm sure if there's a room you really want, we can still switch things around. Let me put this knife away, and I'll help you with your bags."
When Otto returned from the kitchen, Emily followed him up the stairs to the 2nd floor.
"I don't care where my room is," she said, "as long as I have one."
"The bedroom next to mine is empty," Otto stated.
Emily had the feeling that Otto wanted desperately to be liked. His practical jokes were probably a way for him to draw attention to himself.
"That's okay with me."
The room Otto showed Emily to wasn't huge, but it wasn't small. The walls were covered in wallpaper with faded yellow stripes and framed pictures of sunflowers and black-eyed Susans. The bed was actually brass, covered with an antique quilt and lots of lace-trimmed pillows. Beside the bed, there was a floor-to-ceiling bookcase filled with hardcover novels and paperbacks. There was an armoire in the corner and a dresser with an oval mirror above it. It was cozy and feminine, and Emily instantly liked it.
"It's perfect," she told Otto with a smile.
"I'm going to head back downstairs, try to patch things up with Dawn."
"I'll be down as soon as I can," Emily promised.
After Otto left, Emily began putting away her clothes. She'd packed light, with lots of t-shirts, shorts, sweats, jeans, and halter tops. She'd also brought along 2 skirts and blouses, just in case she needed to dress up. Once her clothes were all put away, Emily unpacked her toiletries in the bathroom at the end of the hall and then decided to rejoin Dawn and Otto. As she headed back to the first floor, she could hear a jumble of voices. It sounded like her other housemates were back. Emily took a deep breath as she headed downstairs, wiping her suddenly sweaty palms along the sides of her shorts, reminding herself that this wasn't going to be tough. After all, she'd already met two of her housemates. That only left four. Everyone was gathered in the kitchen. Brown paper bags and boxes were scattered on the counters, and cupboard doors were open as supplies were being put away. A petite girl with short brown hair and freckles holding a gallon of vanilla ice cream turned from the walk-in freezer.
"Hi, you must be Emily."
Emily nodded.
"I'm Carla Hudson. It's nice to meet you."
"Nice to meet you," Emily said.
"We heard you got to meet our resident Joker."
Those words came from a guy with jet black hair and the most piercing blue eyes Emily had ever seen. He was wearing cut-off denim shorts, showing off his muscular legs, and a lime-green tank top that displayed his well-sculpted pecs. He put a box of cereal in the cupboard over the sink and then offered a hand to Emily.
"I'm Forrest Baxter. Welcome to the Nut House."
Emily gave Forrest a smile as she took his hand. She wanted to say something, but couldn't seem to find the words. He was such a cutie.
"I'm glad we weren't the ones he jumped out at. I probably would have fainted."
These words came from a tall, gorgeous brunette with violet eyes who was putting containers of strawberries and blueberries into the refrigerator. She gave Emily a big smile.
"Hi, I'm Leanne Norris."
"Hi, Leanne."
Emily gazed around the kitchen. Dawn and Otto were opening up a bag of tortilla chips and digging into a jar of salsa. Carla, Leanne, and Forrest were putting away groceries. That left only one other housemate.
"Isn't someone missing?" Emily asked.
"Nathan's outside getting the rest of the groceries from the car," Carla explained.
"And here he is."
Behind her, Emily could hear the back door opening. She turned around, getting ready to meet her last housemate.
"Someone looking for me?" a deep voice asked.
Nathan was tall and muscular, with broad shoulder, dark brown hair, and eyes. He smiled at Carla, handing her a bag of groceries while holding on to a six-pack of cola.
"Our new housemate,"
Carla said, pointing in Emily's direction. Nathan followed Carla's finger. When he saw Emily, his brown eyes widened with horror, and he dropped the six-pack of cola. The bottle smashed on the tile kitchen floor, popping and fizzing. All the color drained from Nathan's face as he stared at Emily. His mouth dropped open, and he whispered one word, a name.
"Pamela."
Without saying anything else, Nathan dashed out the back door. Emily stared at the others, confused by what had just happened.
"Pamela? Who's Pamela? Why did he call me that? What happened? What did I do?" "I'm such an idiot," Carla exclaimed. "Why didn't I see it?"
"See what?" Emily asked.
"I'll explain it to you later," Carla said. "I promise. It's too complicated. Right now, I have to find Nathan."
Carla hurried out of the kitchen after Nathan, leaving the others behind.
"Does anyone know what's going on?" Emily asked as she grabbed a handful of paper towels and started cleaning up the spilled soda.
Leanne and Forrest both shrugged, while Otto and Dawn kept munching tortilla chips.
"I guess I'll have to wait until Carla and Nathan get back," Emily said. "I don't have any other choice."
That night, before dinner, Emily was sitting by herself on the front steps of the porch, enjoying the soft breeze wafting off the ocean. The thunderstorm had stopped, and it was already hot again. She couldn't wait to hit the beach tomorrow. She and Dawn had already made plans. Listening to the sound of the crickets in the night, Emily marveled at how quiet it was on the island.
From inside, she could hear Otto and Nathan bustling around in the kitchen, clanging pots and pans, giving each other orders. After Carla and Nathan had disappeared, she'd helped the others put away the groceries and given them some money to pay for her share. Then, Otto and Forrest had offered to start dinner while she, Leanne, and Dawn had set the table in the dining room. Emily knew that in the weeks to come, everyone would probably have their own schedule, but it was nice that they would all be eating together tonight. It made them seem like a family and reminded her of home. At the thought of home, Emily felt a bit homesick. She knew her parents were jetting to Paris tonight to start their vacation, and she wouldn't be hearing from them for the next few weeks. She hoped they had a good time.
Mind if I join you?
Startled from her thoughts, Emily looked up. It was Nathan. She gave him a warm smile. Sure. Nathan sat on the steps next to Emily.
I'll bet you're wondering what happened in the kitchen.
The thought did cross my mind, Emily admitted, but only for a second.
I didn't mean to freak out the way I did.
Who's Pamela? Emily asked, wanting to know who she was. The question had been bugging her for hours.
Someone I used to know, Nathan said.
Do I look like her? It was the only explanation Emily had been able to come up with.
Do you look like her? Nathan asked, his voice stunned. You could be her twin. That's why I was so spooked. The two of you are identical.
You can't be serious, Emily exclaimed.
I am.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, she might resemble me, Emily said, but I'm sure she's not my twin.
She is, Nathan insisted. I can prove it.
You can? How?
I have a photo of her.
You do? Can I see it? Emily asked, her curiosity taking over. She wanted to see what this mysterious Pamela looked like. Please?
Okay.
Nathan reached into the back pocket of his shorts and took out his wallet. He opened it and removed a photo which he handed to Emily. She started at the photo and gasped. Nathan was right. She and Pamela were identical. While their hair color was similar, Pamela's hair was a darker shade of blonde while Emily's was more golden, and their hairstyles slightly different. Emily's hair reached the top of her shoulders, but Pamela's was much longer. There was no mistaking the resemblance. Same features, except Pamela's nose was a bit more upturned and her eyes a little bit further apart.
You're right. I do look like her, Emily whispered, still staring at the photo in shock and awe.
Somewhere out there was a stranger with her face.
We could pass for sisters, if not twins. She must be someone special if you have her photo.
She is special, Nathan agreed, his voice warm.
Emily wondered if Nathan and Pamela used to date. Had they recently broken up? Was that why he'd gotten so upset? Did the sight of her bring back the pain of their ended relationship?
Is she coming out this summer? Emily asked. I'd love to meet her.
You can't.
Nathan snatched the photo back from Emily and put it back into his wallet. Suddenly, his entire manner toward Emily was cold, leaving her confused. What happened? What had she done?
Nathan, what's wrong? Emily asked, gently putting a hand on his upper arm. Why can't I meet Pamela?
Nathan stared at Emily with empty eyes. His voice was flat and hollow.
You can't meet her because she's dead.
Chapter 3. Nathan's words washed over Emily like a splash of cold water, chilling her to the bone. Dead. Pamela was dead. Emily didn't know what to say. A bunch of questions ran through her mind. Had Pamela been sick? Did she die in an accident? When did she die? She wanted to know what had happened.
How could someone the same age as she be dead? It seemed impossible. But
sample complete. Ready to continue?